Reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Panchalila 1, text 111. Upahari das tumhe basila pinda tale sabara agrahe na utila pindara upare. Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur sat at the foot of the elevated place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting. Although everyone asked him to sit on the same level as the Lord and his associates, they did not do so. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksu Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripashindu Bayevacha Patitanam Pabanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from the Sun Falls, Iverson Falls. Of course, I always say I am happy to. One second. I am happy to be up here. I get to spend as much time. And I'm fortunate to have as my guest for a few days Bhurijan Prabhu, with his depth and wisdom and his example of Krishna consciousness. Spending a lot of time in the Bhakti Center, which is very inspirational. And one thing I was talking to Bhurijan Prabhu was is that the dynamics of the development of spiritual movements, they start with a charismatic leader. Generally, they don't start with a church. Even Prabhupada, he was part of the church. But for the, and tried to be part of the church, an institution, but somehow or other, he, in his inspiration and the initiative he had, God gave him the freedom. And he did his own institution, but then his guru's mission, if not formally his institution. So Bhurijan was relating to me a something he was heard and was reading. He heard some lecture. But generally what happens is when someone who is charismatic, and in our line we were talking about charisma that comes from your connection with God and the energy of prema that flows through that, and the inspiration it gives to touch people's hearts and to communicate in an effective way. That's the very nature of communication. Communication, in terms of teaching, requires a lot of freedom, actually. Because you constantly have to shape what you're saying to the nature and needs of the audience, which are also changing. So you can't have just a fixed formula for preaching, for teaching. A lot has to come from your inspiration. Of course, there always can be certain parameters. But at a particular time, that charisma, that channel for prema will attract many, many people. And then to have a continuity and to have some appropriate standards in social, it becomes a church. Now, while a church facilitates stability, it sometimes stifles initiative, and things can become stagnant. And then that what traditionally happens is within that church, other charismatic leaders will arise, and then there's a tension because the freedom they require doesn't often fit into the structure that was created to ensure stability. Catholic Church dealt with that by allowing such people to have their own orders as long as there was loyalty to the Pope. It was kind of, if you're loyal to the Pope, you have complete freedom, basically, within certain broad parameters. And I read the dynamics of how the Jesuits spread Christianity. So many colleges, Seton Hall and Georgetown and Fordham and Xavier, and you go on and on and on and on and on. So many of the universities are from the Jesuits. They were very, very powerful. They had a lot of freedom within certain parameters. So I see that in one sense, what I was seeing with the Bhakti Center is that somehow or other the initiative to spread Krishna consciousness in the Northeast was somehow, you know, somehow seemed to be stifled in ways, you know, not anyone's particular fault, but it's just the nature. And that very, very powerful people continued to preach who needed the initiative, who were various ways loyal to the institution, but not working directly under it, if that makes sense. And what I'm seeing, as I see in the Bhakti Center, is there's so many powerful people that are doing wonderful things and taking the initiative to do so. And it's really nice to have Lakshmi Nisringa there, who's so inspirational and detached to inspire and facilitate that, empower that. And I'm also spending a lot of time there now, giving regular classes there. So I spent a lot of time there, and it is enlivening to see the quality of people that feel fluid in their movement of coming in contact with the mission, fluid in the sense they don't feel that immediate commitment as when you come to a church. It's almost like, this is the way we do things. This is what expect. These are the expectations. Who's your guru? When will you be initiated? You know, are you chanting 16 rounds? And I'm just seeing, because really, that flow of prema and that power of our message, it's really something unique. And when it is communicated in the proper way and people represent it in the proper way, now representing in the proper way is not just a set thing, but they represent in a proper way for the environment and culture which they are in. So many people will feel attracted to associate with the devotees and become inspired. And when you have such a mass of people because of this fluidity, you get people and maximum scope is there for people to get the Bhakti Lata Beej. because their faith is not shut off by their own prejudices to an institution or to something that's presented in a particular way, or, you know, or becomes cloistered. There's a fluidity, and I'm seeing that fluidity and the quality of people who become so attracted to the devotees. It's kind of like a larger community of people which the devotees are part of, and which people come to the devotees on the devotees' own terms. It's wonderful. Even I stopped in Ananta Govinda at Yogamaya, where I regularly, they love him so much that they hosted his birthday there. And, you know, so many people, this wasn't just his friends or devotees, but so many people came to that, for the prasadam and the kirtan, with various levels of commitment, not feeling that this is making a statement of who I am. And it works. I say, up here where I am in Stuyvesant Falls, I mean, Kaylee and Sachi have been here for so many years, and I've been here for so many years. And not as a church, but as people in the community. And even here, there's such a fluidity, so many people get association of the devotees. And I see what's happening, and I was speaking to Kaylee Leakey yesterday, and it's really bad. It's a small town. There are devotees in this small town. There's people who are committed devotees, and there's people who are chant, and there's people who become attracted. There's people that will come to kirtans. And interesting, what she told me, you know, how it works, is she was telling me about one of her friends, very, very, really a substantial person, very good family and very substantial person. Never asked her questions, you know, even though we've been around here for 15, 20 years, and now starts to ask questions, wants to go to the Bhakti Fest, you know, because they see some of the problems. And the local Girl Scout troop, who many of them are on Kaylee Leeta's basketball team when she was the coach at Hawthorne Valley. Girl Scouts, you know, they're going to a the central headquarters in Pune, and you know, it's being organized. Kaylee had it organized through Chopati. So they're going to be picked up in Bombay. They're going to go to the Chopati temple. You know, they want to take a tour of India. And they're going to wind up going to Vrindavan. The Girl Scout troop. You know, without any antennas, are we being converted? Is this being a commitment? What does this mean to us? So, I mean, the challenge is to do that, you know, and not lose the essence and the teachings of Prabhupada. So there's also, Guru Jampuran is speaking also, there needs to be a conservative element in relationship to that also, that maintains the structures and the forms, you know, and the instructions, you know, on the practices and the details of what Prabhupada established too. So, you know, a real cooperative effort is needed to because what we can do in America now is unprecedented. I mean, the people I'm meeting, I went up to the teacher training that Raghunath does for 4 or 5, I think it's 5 months, one week a month, I think, you know, from Friday through Sunday, probably about 36, 40 hours on the weekends, and the real quality of people. When I went, I taught there a couple of months ago. When I went this time, and the graduation, they give everybody a flower wreath. I mean, there's really substantial people. I mean, really good people of good character, and also professionally situated. Many of them. I know several doctors that are in that teacher training. And, you know, seeing them, how they pay obeisances when they, you know, to their teachers. But to speak of the sannyasis, to speak of, you know, Radhanath Swami, they pay their obeisances. to fold their hands. They're always doing kirtan. The ladies make flower garlands to greet the sadhus. So, and people, anyway, I'm going to go on to my class, but I was really inspired to share that with you. Now, this is great here. Rupa Goswami, he came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so impressed with him. It's as if he was had five mouths, he was speaking about him. Because he had this unique combination of depth and inspiration and competence in communication that enabled him to recreate that depth of inspiration, which was the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was the beauty of his prema bhakti, the beauty of his love. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very impressed with him. So now in this section, he's bringing his topmost devotees to see Rupa Goswami, because he realizes that this is a person. They've already recognized him, and they recognize that because of his humility, despite his competence, he was able to be used for an instrument by something greater than him. That's what inspiration is. If you are surrendered to the will of the divine, the will of the divine can use whatever talents you have in a way that even exceeds your karmic capacity. And the most wonderful thing will be manifest. So Rupa Goswami was very, very humble. Very, very humble. And because of that humility, it allowed him to admit and realize his dependence on God. Just like the hand may have so many abilities, but it realizes that it's connected to the body. It is not the body. It is the hand. It is not the angi, the possessor of limbs. It is the anga. It is the limb of the possessor of limbs. It is not the greatest. So, and that's what the ego does. The ego creates that misconception that I am the possessor of the energies. And if it doesn't create that misconception, it desires it so strongly that it certainly creates that conception in limited ways, whether you're lording over another person or even in a relationship, you're trying for that, or in a family or a political thing or a country. You try to create your world where you can live that way. That's the material consciousness. And when you have substantial qualities that attract others, that can influence others, like beauty, like knowledge, like strength, like money, like renunciation, like fame, there's such a tendency to embrace that consciousness and position yourself in such a way that you can enjoy. But here what we see is Rupa Goswami doesn't have that consciousness. Because even though everyone's coming to him, you know, they're sitting on an elevated place that's sturdy, or, you know, maybe like some chokis, they're like benches or something. he doesn't sit up there. He just doesn't identify with position, prestige, status. You sometimes have to take that position out of humility. When you have that to your father, you know, you need to be that way in relationship to your son for the benefit of your son. You can't be just pals. You know, if your son has respect, or you can act in a way that they can respect you, that's good for them. So you have to keep that position. But in the Vaishnav's mind, he's never in that position. Because whatever he does is in the mood of, I am the servant of my guru, who is the servant of Krishna, and therefore I am the servant of Krishna. That's the Vaishnav mood. The Vaishnav never falls prey. And one way in which we embrace that mood is that people praise us. Even if you don't physically move, some people physically move. They make politics. They bump you off. They put you down. They buy you off. They hanker for position. I want to be a guru. And one who thinks he's guru is, wow, they're a cow or an animal, according to Bhakti Siddhanta. If you think that way, everything has to be done in the position of service. Without the ahankara. Ahankara means that which distinguishes you for enjoyment, that which separates you for that kind of conception of enjoy and control. That's ahankara. And therefore, in the impersonalist path, okay, you're separate from God for enjoyment, then that separateness is illusion. Get rid of the separateness, become spiritual. In one sense, that's the first step of self-realization. But the bhakti tradition takes it in a different way. I am separate. Not for enjoyment, I'm separate from service. And in that sense, I am not separate. The hand is separate for service, but in service, it is not separate. In service, it is the body. So it's bhakti means just to change the inner conception to service. Then the distinction is not part of the ego, or this distinction is not part of the ego of material. It's the spiritual conception of separateness. I am separate for service. I am separate for love. That's the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. I am separate for the purpose of exchanging love. So this is the consciousness we're seeing through Rupa Goswami, the consciousness of one who has humility. And I've been really, really trying to meditate on this more and more. What this consciousness means. It's basically, it begins with realization of the self. And happiness with the self, which is not everything. which is not the controller, which is a part of God, and which loves, whose love is expansive. You can't separate humility from love. Love is part of humility. Humility is part of love. They feed off of each other. They're symptoms of another. When you love, you value your beloved more than yourself. So there's a realization. And that realization is, God is everything, and I am part of that. And I love that. And I want to serve that. And that's my objective. I'm completely happy to not be great. Because my objective is love, it's not control and enjoyment. And therefore, I don't need power and position. Talked about surrender. Surrender is love. It's submission due to love. I want to serve. Therefore, I want to please. And therefore, I will be controlled by the desire of my beloved. I see often when a mother has a child, especially it's a nuclear family and she's alone with the child, the mother is completely surrendered to the child. Completely surrendered to the child. The child's desires determine what the mother's world is. So that's analogous to bhakti. We surrender. We try to please. And because though that the desires of God are in the hearts of those who fully love God. When you fully love God, your only desire is to please God. So in the bhakti tradition, one has gurus. Those who want to fully please God. And we develop affection for those who want to please God, because in our relationship with them, they show us the mercy of the example and the information on how to do so. And we feel that as mercy. And therefore we want to please. And then it becomes focused in that way. I'm trying to please Prabhupada. I want to surrender to Prabhupada. That's not bondage, that's freedom. It's freedom for what really bonds us, which are the selfish desires that puts us in dualistic and egotistic conception that I am separate from God. We simply want to please Prabhupada. I just listened to a tape this morning of a previous lecture I gave. And I said, are there any questions? And then Rasagya asked a question. She surrendered. She wants to please Prabhupada. It's a beautiful thing. Her surrender is her love for Prabhupada. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana, who opened her eyes with the torchlight of knowledge and by his example inspired her to be a lover of God and therefore put that sense of devotion in her heart. She is surrendered. And therefore, she follows. She tries to please. She does things the way Prabhupada wanted. Of course, she assimilates them according to the circumstance she's in. But that core essence is there. And it's a platform of humility. because you're not in the center. God is in the center, which is represented by God's representatives. And you're in a position where love can flow through your heart. So it's such a nice example here of humility with Srila Rupa Goswami, because he has all the accoutrements of power. He was very wealthy, very famous, very intelligent, very renowned. He was a powerful man in the world, and then those qualities remained of power as a devotion in his devotional life, but they were used for service. And because of his love and the devotion in his heart, he was so satisfied with that position of servant and service that he identified with that position of service. How beautiful it is. And therefore, when he's sitting at the elevated place, everyone, he's there, he's happy. He's happy. And this is what the Vaishnavas are. They never put themselves in the center, unless they're carrying the desire of Krishna, that their center is actually Krishna's center. It's like if I was serving Prabhupada, and I was the chief servant. Now, others may assist me in that, but they're not assisting my ego, because my desire is not the center. My desire is Prabhupada is the center. So you can take the center without the ego if you don't have the ego, I am the center. You have the ego that I am the servant. So this is spiritual life. That kind of consciousness and humility is the core foundation. And it's a realization of happiness with an insignificant constitutional nature. Of service and devotion. And how different that is than codependence, where you're not happy with the constitutional position of service. And you serve someone else who one's identification with in one's mind allows them to take a position of center. You're serving someone, you're putting yourself in a position of service, but in your consciousness you're thinking, if I am accepted by that person, then I become great. It's subtle. Then I can become the controller. This is my venue to ego. I'm surrendered. But the consciousness behind that surrender is this will make me great. This will allow me control. Different consciousness. And a lack of self-esteem. The difference between that and humility. Humility is happy in service and feels they're insignificant. low self-esteem means you may feel yourself insignificant, but you're not happy with that position. Your desire is still focused. Somehow you haven't figured it out, but still focused. I want to maneuver. I need to be the controller. I'm not. It's a psychological condition. It's not a spiritual condition. Due to upbringing, you may feel insecure, you may feel insignificant. But you don't feel that's your constitution. Vaishnava feels that's their constitution. And they're joyful in that position. Because that position allows them to experience the happiness of being loved. Because you can feel mercy in a humble position. You can't feel mercy in a proud or spoiled position. You can't appreciate. You're appreciating. And that appreciation of what you are getting from God and what you are getting from Guru, and in that realistic situation of your lack of constitutional qualification to demand it, it wells, swells a love in one's heart. Surup. Purva shloka para rupa prabhu agya kaila najitena pade rupa mona dalila. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Rupa Goswami to read the verse they had previously heard, Rupa Goswami, because of great shyness, did not read it, but instead remained silent. So again, it's beautiful, the consciousness does not want fame. Fame allows one to control. And we see how many famous people are miserable. Because when you have accoutrements for power, people relate to you and serve you, not out of love for you, but out of what they can get from you. And therefore, one becomes numb to the feelings of love, because you never can tell if people want to serve you or they want something from you. And what's bhakti? What is love? Love is sincerity, it's honesty. There's nothing, you're serving person, it's honest, because you want them pleased. It's not you're serving someone because you want something from them. And if one thinks that someone is serving because they want something from them, they will never feel love. And very often, people with accoutrements of power are lonely. Anyway, it's beautiful. It's so brilliant. But he's so immersed and so cognizant of how great God is and how small he is that he sees these accoutrements of power as not something inherent within himself. Accoutrements of power means his great intellect and his fame and his renunciation. He doesn't see that something as inherent within himself. He sees something that is a gift of God that's in one's possession, but not one's own. The example is often given of a bank teller. They have so much money, but they're not proud. Bank teller's not proud. They have so much money because they realize it's not theirs. So the devotee may have so many qualities, but realizes that they're not ultimately his or hers. They're given by God to be used by God. And he really hones in deeply that where it's at is devotion, and devotion means surrender and selfless service. And that's the soul. That's who one is. And that's what one wants. I tell the story often when George Harrison came to Mayapur. I was there, took breakfast with him. He walked around the project, and there was this gardener from Queens, New York, who was a devotee. And somehow the most devotees came from the hippie era. He was a beatnik. And George Harrison was so impressed with him because this guy was a one in a million green thumb. What this guy can do, he was so empowered, it was amazing. George Harrison offered him a ticket for the summer and a job for the summer. Why don't you come for a few months? You can come to Hawaii. And I remember the answer that this person named Condra gave to George Harrison. I was right there. He talked like a beatnik. Beatniks would always say, "Daddy." So he said, "Daddy," he said, "No, I don't want to go." And then he looked at George. He said, "George, do you want to come?" He shook his head, "No." He said, "Daddy, I got bucks in the bank and grapes in the cupboard. All I could want is more service." That's the value system that's harmonious with the soul. That's what puts love within one's heart. And that's what ultimately makes us satisfied. We're so prone. I feel very prone to the illusions of Maya. To think that enjoyment and control in a relationship, in a position, will actually nourish me and give me sublimity. One who feels like that, their trust, their faith is misappropriated. You're opening your heart to feelings and things that will only put you more in the duality of the material body and the attachments and the sufferings. As a goal, as a need, yes, take your needs. But the needs are not sublimity in itself. They're the platform by which one can attain sublimity. And that platform is a servant of Krishna. And this is that servant. I am happy in heart, with devotion in my heart. And then you feel it. You get a sense and a feeling. And you have a feeling of your constitutional insignificance. You get a feeling of your dependence in God. And you get a feeling of your rebellion and separation from God. It's all mixed with your devotion and love, but it does not make you feel that I am a worthy, significant honored person in society. The It's such a beautiful thing in the core of the heart. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
I think I've probably asked you this question before, but I need to ask again. What is the best way to cultivate that desire to please God that you spoke of, in a way that so that it comes from the heart and not just from the intellect? Is it by attentive chanting, by continued hearing from elevated souls, or, you know, what? How can?
Well, I think all of those things, all of those things. Of course, sadhu sangha, the association of people who are inspired, is inspirational to us. We always pray, we always seek that, and we're always ready to surrender to that and to live by that. And, you know, the general concept of bhakti is, that there's a shakti in love that's in the objects of our love, that it's in the acts of love. So the more we have trust and faith in that, the more we focus our consciousness in, on that, according to our tastes, the more those sentiments and feelings come to us. Also, you know, things like akadasi, madhavatiti, bhakati, janani. If one ever has time to really follow akadasi and just take a day of complete absorption in the objects and acts of devotion, the next day, one will feel a surge of bhakti in his heart, a real sentiment, a real feeling. One can have a pilgrimage. They'll have a real sentiment, a real feeling. If one could have a good morning in that absorption. And one has to avoid the 10 offenses to the holy name. Because that separates us from those feelings.
And those things will bring that desire from the intellect to the heart.
Of course, it's aparad. It separates us from worship. The offenses separate us from worship and separate us from those feelings.
No, I meant that whole list that you just mentioned.
Of course. Of course.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else like to ask a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my most humble obeisances.
Nanda Dula, Hare Rao.
Hare Rao Maharaj. Just two hours ago, Jayadatta Maharaj left. I wanted to share with you his last thing. And also the same thing, Narayananda Maharaj spoke on Prabhupada reunion in Los Angeles, same thing. Jayadatta Maharaj, two lectures he gave here in Richmond, two places he was telling. Bharat Bhumi de Janma Hoilo Ja Janma Sarthak Kori Paro Paro Upakar. And same thing, Vedananda Maharaj told, you know, he did search in a database and he found this, the Prabhupada has mentioned 198 times in 11 years. So Jayadatta Maharaj was telling, time has come, no going back, you know, this is the only thing. So Maharaj was really very emphatic, you know. So Maharaj missed that you were coming little late. Thank you, Maharaj, you know, for your... You are coming, but he couldn't meet. But he is meeting you in the conference in Boston.
Yeah. So, Randy, I'm going to visit them the week after next, in the weekend.
Yeah, please ask Maharaj, you know, if Gaurangi Mataji can come. She'll love it.
Yeah, I'm going to... I guess what I'll do is I'll try to come Friday for lunch.
Yes, Maharaj.
I have to speak to Henry. If he's there, I may stay at his house Sunday night. I'll ask him, but that'll be later. But, okay. Thank you, Nanda Dula. Can't wait to visit you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you. We are waiting for you like a chocolate bird.
Maybe I'll also do this until Leela. I don't know.
Thank you, Maharaj.
It's the best for the people there. But
and you know, George.
Yeah, what are you gonna say? I will.
Oh no, George. He's not coming. He asked me when you will be doing Puri Jatra this next year, because he is intending to go there, and he asked me. So I told him I will have to ask Maharaj when. It does.
Actually, it's good for him. The dates have been moved up from the 20th to the 25th because we couldn't get the later dates of January. So we're just waiting to confirm the place.
Okay, Maharaj. When you come, we'll talk to you. Thank you, Maharaj,
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna, Amya.
Thank you for class this morning.
Yeah, and it was great. I gave the Wednesday Sangha at your house, and those nice...
Yes, it was lovely. Was very unexpected
lady.
And very, very nice. Very, very nice.
Amya's place is always filled with devotees, and that's whatever happens. Whenever you open your house, you know, then there's always so many nice people visiting.
Yeah.
So now in August,
lovely lady,
Iranian,
lovely young women,
Iranian devotees that are going to come to my retreat.
I just got an email from them.
Yeah.
They have booked their flight. They have booked their flight, and they're ready to come.
That's great. I think I'll come to the city also, maybe see if I can speak on the Bhakti Center that Tuesday so you can all come, you know?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yes.
Okay. You'll see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Bo.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Chaitanya Priya.
Chaitanya Priya, I'll send you an email after this. And I just want to make sure I have your email with your phone, and then I can just speak to you right after this finishes, as you requested. Okay, let me just check that. Chaitanya Priya, just are you by a computer?
No, I'm not by a computer. I'm at home.
I'll just give you my phone number, okay? Write it down.
Okay.
Oh, better yet, let me see if I have your phone number. One second. Let me look in my... One second. Can you just quickly give me your phone number?
I can.
Okay, I'll call you within 10 minutes, okay?
Okay, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, one last person would like to say hello?
Hello, Maharaj.
Who's that?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj, this is Hillary.
This is who?
This is Hillary.
Hillary, where are you now?
I'm at Donovan's place in Alachua.
Okay, give me a little report. Write me a little report, or maybe call me a little bit later and let me know how things went, okay?
Okay, thank you, Maharaj. Thank you for the class.
Thank you for listening. There was some other voice that said hello. Who is that?
Maharaj, Gordon.
Hey, Gordon. Thank you. Thank you for joining again. Great. Where are you? At your farm?
I'm at the farm.
Wonderful. Where is that?
It's in the Hudson Valley. It's off a place called Salt Point Turnpike, and it's an old dairy cattle farm.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay. Thanks for being on. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can end now. Panchakalpa Turugyascha Kripa Sindhu Vedacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah.